What the fuck you gonna do? Greetings from Podcastville. It's Wednesday, June the motherfucking 10th. The church of what's happening now is brought to you by, you ready for this? I told you Manscaped was announcing a new product, and I got it for you. You ready? The scientists over at Manscaped have released their first fucking nose hair trimmer. It's called the Weed Whacker. Let me tell you something, people. There's four things I care about, okay? I have to be clean at all times. That's my dick and ball combo, my asshole, my ears, and my nose. I feel very self-conscious when I leave the house and I see a fucking long hair coming out of my fucking nose. I feel like stabbing myself in the face. And there's really nothing. You ever get the regular weed whackers, the regular nose trimmers? You can't get in there. Gets a couple hairs. I got cocaine fucking deep included Cuban fucking pubic fucking hair in my nose. It's tough to cut the hairs from my nose. Manscaped has changed that. Enough. Stuff out nose hair with the best. If you think Manscaped 3.0 is fucking tremendous, wait till you fucking try this nose trimmer. You ready for this? Clean the corona right out of your fucking nose. When a Q-tip goes in there, it's going to go in your fucking eye. There's no more jungle in there. 9,000 RPM motor and a blade that moves 360 degrees. When you fucking weed whack your nose, everything comes out, okay? So do me a favor right now. We're going to make an introductory offer to you. This is I used it twice already. Tremendous. I'm going to give you 20% off and free shipping. When you press in the special code for this, it's called NosePubes at manscaped.com. You're never going to get this deal like this on Nose Candy anyway. If I'm giving you 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com, code NosePubes. What the fuck are you waiting for? Clean out your nose. Stick a Q-tip in your ear. Take that old fucking wax out. Wash your balls. Clean your asshole. It's fucking Wednesday, cocksuckers. Manscaped.com, code NosePubes. The church is also brought to you by, like I told you Monday, on it. They brought me back during this. I'm a fucking savage, Alpha Brain. Thank you. Listen, what other company sells you a product, and if you're not happy with it, gives you 100% money guarantee, and you can keep the product? Nobody. On it does that with fucking Alpha Brain. Nootropics, your brain, clarity. I'm clear. I'm back. I'm not fucking around. I know what I want now. Get your party started. Go to onit.com right now and press in.
Church.
Listen, fucking Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Immune, the MCT oil for your fucking coffee, the coconut flavored one. Fucking delicious. Listen, it's endless. Go to onit.com right now, press in.
Church.
And get 10% off delivered to your motherfucking crib. Kick this fucking mule, Lee.
Oh shit.
It all starts fucking today, right?
No more fucking excuses. This is the year of the fucking soldier. We're going in like fucking Marines, you understand me?
Welcome to church, motherfucker.
Oh shit. It's Wednesday. Here we go. Bad motherfuckers. Uncle Joey here. It's 100 degrees out. There ain't no protesters out today. All the white people are home with the air conditioner, not even thinking about African Americans. There was three protesters out there. All of them were black. They got no air conditioner. They said, fuck it. We ain't staying in these four walls. We're getting out of here. That's it. Once it turns 100 degrees, white protesters stay home in the air conditioner.
I'm blaming.
It's all over. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let me tell you something about Monday morning, I get up, whatever, 6. I fucking open up my computer. I drink some coffee. I talk to my wife for a couple minutes. And the first, I go to Facebook. And here's just to let you know about life, guys. This is why sometimes, I'm sorry I'm a little cynical, but it's all bullshit. I open up the first fucking message. I have 6 messages that morning. Wow, I'm a popular guy. I go to bed at fucking, I go to bed at fucking midnight. I wake up at fucking 6, and I got a message an hour. I open up the fucking message, and so help me God. It's a fucking thing that says, I'll never listen to your show again for putting a fucking fag on your show. Go fuck yourself. Now, this is what I woke up to. This is Monday morning when you're supposed to be the best you could be. Some guy somewhere decided to wake up Monday morning, listen to the podcast or not listen to it, and say, fuck you because I had a gay man on. It's 2012, 2020. You do know that. And people are marching outside for equality. And here this fucko sends me back this message. Now, if this was 2 years ago, I would have said, fuck you, you motherfucker. I hope your mother gets hit by a train. I didn't do that. I just blocked them. But that just goes to let you know, with all the marches and all the equality and everything people are looking for. Listen, I didn't put Eric Roach on here to be cool. Look, listen, most people, these type of people where we live, they fucking live here because and they live here under the control. Everybody's beautiful. We love Lee. We love this one. We love that. They don't like nobody. You don't like nobody, okay? I love you people who contact me to be on your podcast, and I never fucking, you never fucking, I don't know who you are. And I say to you, yeah, ring back around or whatever. Listen to me. Listen to me good. You know why we laugh so hard on Monday on this podcast? Because I love that kid with all my heart. When I go on the Rogan podcast, you people love it. Why? Because our connection, you can feel the love in the air. That podcast was so good the other day because I feel love for Eric. He's not a friend of mine because I want to tell the world I have a gay friend. Like most people do with African-Americans or gay people. They pick one, and he's my best friend. They let everybody know. They invite him to their parties. They always have one black guy. Well, this shit's going to get called out from now on. This shit's over. If you invite one, you better have 20 there. Okay? It's over. Stop with your bullshitting. Equal rights, Martin Luther King. You don't know dick about dick. Like I said to you, with everything going on in the world, that's what I woke up to on a fucking Monday morning, was hate. So that's why I don't believe the hype, all right? Like I said on my tweet Thursday or Wednesday, everything that changes from here on in has to start from behind closed doors. I love Eric. I didn't put Eric on because he's fucking gay. Well, I'm not friends with Eric. He's my token gay friend. I love all gay men. I don't give a fuck what you are. And yeah, we talk about trannies. We goof. We have a good time. But hey, I got respect for them. And that's just the way it goes. If we don't like gay people, it's 2020. Get over yourself, man. Get the fuck over yourself. I don't know what else to tell you. Anyway, we said today we're going to review the fucking Bruce Lee thing. But before we review the Bruce Lee thing, we got to review something else first. But before we do that, we got to spark a fucking number out of respect. It's Wednesday morning. It's 100 fucking degrees. I'm headed to the beach today. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's it. Why are we fucking around? It's beach weather. Fish and chips, put a blanket down, go in the ocean, get some fucking water, Corona. There's got to be some top form of Corona in the fucking water. Yeah, why not, bro? What, the kid's got no fucking school. What am I going to do? There's no camp. You want me to sit around here? I don't like watching myself. I do not watch, like, this is lead up to Bruce Lee. I do not like watching myself on tape. But a couple weeks ago when we were going to go back to, I thought I was going to work last week, June 4th and 5th, without even thinking about it, I one night got high and started looking at, out of everything, what I feel is the best work I've ever done, which is Ari's show.
This is not happening.
This is not happening. You know, I started watching the clips from there. I'd never seen the latest one I did, Roy Wood. I'd never even seen
it. You never watched it?
No, I'd never watched that one. When I clicked on to it, I realized there's a bunch of people reviewing those. So I started watching some of the reviews, and I was like, wow, I didn't think that was powerful enough. I didn't think that would throw somebody off like it did, and blah, 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 blah. But I watched my tapes, and the one I really paid attention to, the one that really fucked with me the most was me beating up the nun. The thing about me beating up the nun, dog, it was such a fucked up experience. It was like many of my experiences that I forgot all about. For years, I had carried that thought. I never even thought about it. I don't know. I mean, it's something that you do that you're not proud of, and you just move on with your life. And when all this process started of writing a book 8 years ago and shit, I asked myself, why when I was in Boulder in 89 and I was confused after prison, why did I have to make my confirmation? I was like, I got confirmed when I was 29 years old or 30 years old. Why did I do that? I was like, why didn't I get confirmed when I was a young kid? And I kept thinking about it. I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. I was supposed to make my confirmation at Sacred Heart, but before the fifth grade, that's what after the fifth grade. I think you make your confirmation in the sixth grade. I got thrown out in the fifth grade, so all that shit went down the tubes. So it's like your bar mitzvah.
I was going to say, yeah, it sounds like similar. Yeah.
So
yeah.
tremendous. I don't know what I'm smoking. They gave me something over at fucking Urban Trees. And this shit curls your fucking eyebrow hair. Anyway, so I'm watching the one about... I told that story the first time ever when I opened up for Joe Rogan in New York. I just came out a la fresco with it and told this. I wrapped material around it and told the story to the best of my ability. And it related because most of the audience was probably 64% Catholic and they've heard these stories from their parents. So I didn't really think nothing of it. I just thought it was a joke. And after I did like the first two, this is not happening. Ari pulled me aside one day, like the man that he is, and he goes, hey, can I talk to you about something? I want you to put some adventure into your stories. Not that I didn't like your last two stories, but I want you to really change it around a little bit. He goes, in fact, I really want you to do the nun story. So I sat down and I, you know, wrote it out to the best of my knowledge. And like everything in my life, you know, when you write, you seek. You know, when you write something down, two or three sentences down, just by exercising that pen, another idea will come into your mind. Something else will come into your mind. And you think that you're going to get all those things. You know, so I write the story out. I cut out the fat. And then I figure out on some points. And then I do the best I can when I go up there. Trust me, one of those points I'm going to forget. One of those sentences I'm going to forget. It's just natural. You just forget when you're 30. I don't care if you're 30, 20, or 50. You're going to forget one of those lines in a crucial situation. Then you'll see it later. And you know. But so I forget all about this. I get up on stage that night. And I got to be honest with you. When I watched that This Is Not Happening a few weeks ago, I realized a couple things from that performance that were not on the paper at all. One thing was when I talked about the Puerto Rican, you know, thank the Italians, thank God for Italians, thank God for Puerto Ricans. When I called the Roberto Clemente looking motherfuckers, that was off the top of my fucking head because I was on a roll, you know. So one of the things that happened through that performance, if you click on This Is Not Happening, the story of the nun, wait till you get to the part about my rage. When you watch the part about my rage, you see that my eyes swell up with tears in them because I'm telling the story about pain. Something, dog, and even with all the writing you do at home, something comes out on stage that if you watch it, you'll see my eyes well up because I meant it from the bottom of my heart. You know, I go, when I attacked that fucking nun, it was... I'm living at this fucking Catholic school. They're beating on me. I'm fucking going home on the weekends. You know, I'm staying out till 3 a.m. with my parents. I'm living this fucking cowboy life. You know, Bruce Lee had died. Roberto Clemente had died January 1st, 1973. That knocked my winds off. When Bruce Lee died, July 20th or whenever the fuck he died, there was no internet, guys. So whoever tells you found out that night on the news is full of shit. It took us like 3 fucking days to find out, 4 days.
Wow.
And then there was no internet. You had to go to encyclopedia. Nothing.
He died in Hong Kong, too, so I had to get over here. Interesting.
It wasn't like it is now that you get the news, breaking news on Twitter. There was nothing like that. So when the Green Hornet was on, I used to watch the Green Hornet. I remember one night throwing a fit because they didn't get me home in time to watch it from the beginning. I still remember this shit. You know, I can't tell you what episodes. I didn't look it up. I can't tell you how many episodes they shot. It wasn't on for a long time.
That's a crazy thing for me is the TV shows I loved as a kid, I thought they were on for years. And then, like, it was on for, like, one season.
Yeah, that was either on for one season or two seasons. I didn't even look. I didn't want to do any research. I wanted to talk from the heart today. I didn't look. I didn't do any fucking research. Nothing. I just wanted to talk to you people from what I had my memories. So when I found out Bruce Lee died, it hit me hard. And, you know, I mean, here's a kid that I watched the Green Hornet, and then one day this guy disappears. And I remembered him, El Chino, because that's what I would call him, El Chinito. You know, in Spanish, El Chinito means a little Chinese guy. So I would tell my mom, I got to go home and watch The Green Hornet. My mom spoke Spanish. She didn't know what the fuck a Green Hornet is. She's like, ¿qué dice? And I would say, you know, the show con el chinito. And that was a half hour that my mom had a break. I would sit there and do the same moves he did. And then I got hit in the head with the fucking lunchbox. And my mother gave me the opportunity to join karate. And I was like, this is what that fucking chinito used to do. And I couldn't think of his name. But then my godfather used to take me to movie theaters on 42nd Street. But from time to time, he would take me to Chinatown. And there was a movie down there in Chinatown, New York City. Not a Chinese theater. It was a white theater. But since it was in Chinatown, it played kung fu movies. So if you want me to give you a name of the first kung fu movie I saw, I don't know. I just enjoyed it because I was at karate with, doing fucking kicks. And I had the fist on my gi. And I didn't even, if you want me to tell you, I remembered Bruce Lee or whatever. I didn't. I just called him a chinito, and I knew I was doing that, and here I am in a martial arts movie theater, and I don't know what the fuck is going on. And then somewhere around 1969, 1970, when I was about six or seven, the martial art movie business fucking exploded. And I remember being at Sacred Heart School for Boys and running home and telling whoever, my godfather, my stepfather, I got to go see Five Fingers of Death. Five Fingers of Death was the first movie that put us over the top, about a student that trains and his master, they're going to kill him, and he develops the palm of strength. I forget what it's called, the palm of death. And that's where you get these fucking rocks that are heated, and you got to put your hands in them. Trust me, Uncle Joey did it. And you got to get a bag, like a bean bag, and put a bag over it, and you got to wipe this fucking juice on your hands and fucking pound your hands like this. Get them hard. You do this all day. Nothing happened to my hands. My hands, I still got pussy hands still today. They're soft as shit. But, you know, you go through the process. I did the whole thing. And then in the fourth grade one night, we had just come out of the shower. There had to be maybe 12 to 16 of us in the dormitory. I was in the fourth grade. I was in Sister Alice's, or Sister Anna's was the fucking leader of the fourth grade dormitory. And we were watching a show by the name of Happy Days with the Fonz and Itchy Richie, whatever, Richie Cunningham and all that shit. And the next thing you know, in between one of those commercial breaks, they showed the trailer to motherfucking the Chinese Connection, a.k.a. Fist of Fury. It got released over there as Fist of Fury, but it got released here as the Chinese Connection. If you get a minute, YouTube that. Fuck, Lee, I forgot to tell you something. I want you to look for the Little Rascals Cake. It's very important that you find Little Rascals Cake.
Okay.
So, please. So, where were we?
They just on the commercial for...
The commercial for Enter the Dragon came on. Now, we're a bunch of fucking fourth graders. I don't know if you guys got kids or whatever. Fourth graders, we watch the Fonz. They give us snacks. Glass of fucking milk. Me, I drank like water or Kool-Aid or whatever the fuck because I didn't drink milk. We're all sitting around there watching this fucking Fonz, and all of a sudden, you know, like, it's a bunch of rowdy fourth graders, and we're like in three-man packs, and we're telling stories during the TV show. But when Bruce Lee Chinese Connection came on, and they showed that circle scene in the Chinese Connection, that's the scene you saw in the trailer. Guys, I gotta be honest with you. That the fucking room came to a halt. Even the fucking nun. It was like you could drop a pen in there and the kid did not fucking move. None of us moved. We were frozen. Our jaws had dropped. We had been overcome. Fuck Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Fuck the Love Bug. Fuck the World's Greatest Athlete. Fuck Disney movies. Fuck Charlie Brown. This room was filled with kids from the five fucking boroughs in Staten Island. These were little fucking animals. Fuck Mickey Mouse. Fuck Donald Duck. Fuck Snoopy. We had just fucking got our world rock. This Chinese guy just kicked the fuck out of 50 people. On fucking TV at 8 o'clock on national TV on a Tuesday fucking night. For 2 days, I could not wait. When my stepfather pulled up to get me that Friday, that Thursday night, I remember saying to him, he was like, what do you want to do this week? And I go, I just need one favor from you. We need to find out where the Chinese Connection is playing. And we went. And we went to Clifton, New Jersey, to the Route 3 drive-in. If anybody's parents ever talk about that fucking place, hit me back. I went to see a bunch of movies there. Five Fingers of Death. Fucking, but Chinese Connection comes out of my fucking veins there. When I left that fucking drive-in theater, I was hooked, okay? I was learning karate, but I had to get to the bottom of this kung fu shit somewhere along the line. This shit was just too much. He was doing, I don't even know how I found out. I don't know if you had to buy Black Belt magazine in those days to find out everything about Bruce Lee. And when Bruce Lee came over, that's all you found in Black Belt magazine was Bruce Lee articles, Bruce Lee articles, Bruce Lee articles, who he was training, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I was right there with him. Now, for me, I watch all these people say what he meant to them and what he didn't mean to them. To me, man, he fucking meant, I don't know. At the time, I couldn't fucking tell you. All I know is that me and every one of my friends was Bruce Lee crazy. What's Bruce Lee crazy? We used to go to Chinatown. We used to buy the outfits. You know, there's these envelopes that used to come out in Chinatown every Friday. And it was 10-5-5 assorted pictures of Bruce Lee from all his different movies. And there was like only 10 pictures, but they would give you 9 of them. And one of them, they made it really hard to get. It was like one with him with a nunchucks or something. So you had to keep buying the envelope over. It was like trading cards.
Yeah, that's
insane. You keep buying them until you get that one. And then once you collected them, I wonder what that collection is worth now.
Millions.
I wonder what those envelopes are worth now, if anybody ever kept those envelopes from fucking Chinatown. Here, you know, if you got all the grandparents that grew up and used to go to Chinatown in 73, find out if they got those envelopes or any of those. They used to be like black. Like whoever did them was a fuck. Leave that up.
I am.
Whoever did that was a fucking scam because they were just printing them and putting them in there. But on the serious side, Bruce, like, it just took off. Guys, it took off like medical marijuana. It took off like crack. It took off like the internet. It took off like cell phones. Bruce Lee took off like nothing you ever saw before. And America kept sitting back waiting for his fucking movies. He released Where the Dragon. Now, I don't know if Where the Dragon came out before or after Enter the Dragon. I don't remember the whole fucking thing. But I do remember Enter the Dragon coming out and me knowing he was dead and me sitting there crying like a pussy at the Union City Cinema in Union City, New Jersey. And
so it was The Big Boss, Fist of Fury, The Way of the Dragon, and then Game of Death, or his last four.
And then he was shooting Game of Death, and they fucking redid it with some fucking little Chinese guy making noises. And by that time, it was off the boat. Chinese people fucking manipulated us for years with older Bruce Lee footage. Everybody was threatening that they had other Bruce Lee footage. So every movie that came out, they would say, Bruce Lee, Bruce Lee, Bruce Lee, and it was a lie. It was like a picture of Bruce Lee in it.
Wow.
Or like a fucking... Chinese people were ruthless. They were getting like another guy's body and putting Bruce Lee's face on it. They were ruthless.
Fuck.
And then Sonny Chiba came, and that took away the Bruce Lee thing for a while. But in people's hearts like mine, that stung. Bruce Lee's death stung. And when you watch This Is Not Happening, you'll see it in my face that it's coming up again after fucking 30 fucking years. That poor bastard's been dead for 47 fucking years. Until this day, when I tap into it, it's still fucking... And I don't tap into it a lot. I tapped into it that night, obviously, when I was on fucking stage. It came back to fucking haunt me, those fucking skeletons, because I was ready to cry up on that fucking stage. I had to control myself. Because my father's death hurt as much, or Bruce Lee's death hurt as much as my father's death, and it hurt as much as Roberto Clemente's death. And there was a bunch of people dying in those days. Morrison died, fucking Hendrix had died. So America was just getting used to, you know, John F. Kennedy had died. People were just fucking dying from the time I could fuck them. I mean, John F. Kennedy died in 66. But we were just on a fucking trend, you know. Every year somebody was dying. Fucking the brother died. Then Martin Luther King died. I mean, it was just like we were used to fucking people dying, but now it was people in our field. Like, it was people you didn't give a fuck, but now it was people you did give a fuck. But I could tell you, man, that I probably needed, I probably today, looking back at it, I probably need
therapy
from Bruce Lee's death.
Wow.
And then when my mother died, that brought back all those fucking feelings. And I don't know why Bruce Lee's death affected me so much. So now we're going to look at the other part of my life. I made a quote. You know, I always loved the Beatles. I loved the Beatles because they fucked with you a little bit. The United States let the Beatles fuck with them. And, or that's what you thought. They just did. Sometimes life imitates art, okay? You ready for this, guys? I said on that tape, or on the friendship tape, I talk about how all you need is three friends and you could take over the world. A couple weeks ago, I wanted to put some friends on, which I'm gonna go back again, but I'm gonna put it in chunks of threes. I put them in a chunk of threes to let you know the first batch of three friends I had that let me know I could take over the world. Steve Avillo, Georgie, and Colangelo. Okay? Everything I've said on those fucking things, I've lived up to. Now, you ready for this one? I get in fucking trouble. I moved to Boulder. Within 6 weeks, I'm back in trouble. And I got to get on the plane. Psychologically, where do I go? I go to San Francisco. And as soon as I get to San Francisco, when I wasn't stealing or doing drugs or spending time with my girlfriend, was trying to find out where Bruce Lee used to hang out.
That's where he was born.
And nobody had a fucking answer for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what hospital was he born at? You know, where was he, whatever, at? I mean, it was fucking weird how I went to San Francisco, and between us, I could let you, you know, between us is what we do here. I could tell you the truth that I went to San Francisco in the back in search of Bruce Lee. Like, I didn't know. I wanted to learn more about him. I went up there. I saw the Chinese community. Oh, my God. They used to have some good Chinese food up there on Van Ness. It was, I forget what the name of the restaurant, North Star Chinese restaurant or something on Van Ness in San Francisco, was the best Szechuan beef I ever had. Every time I went in there, I felt like Bruce Lee. Like, this is where Bruce Lee ate in my stupid cocaine mind. But, okay, let's get back to, I get into comedy. And basically, guys, when I fucking, in 1994, 95, I was lost. But I was found because, yes, my life was lost, but I was focused on comedy. Like, I was really, 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 really into comedy. So I was really lost, but I was really found. And I had when I had to leave Boulder, I didn't know I was leaving Boulder. I just knew that what was going on in Boulder wasn't working. And all the obvious signs were popping up that I eventually would have had to leave. When, I didn't know, but eventually something wasn't going to be right. Sure enough, I get thrown out of the Comedy Works, and I'm having problems at home with my ex-wife and the thing, and I go, you know what? I fucking go to Michigan. By this time, it's May. I know I gotta figure something out in my life. I can't. I'm driving to Baltimore from Denver 2 times a month in a fucking car. I'm driving to Michigan from Boulder in a fucking car, and this is what my life was. I knew I had to find the base of operations. Could I move to Michigan? I knew a couple guys in Michigan. Could I move to Baltimore? I'm from Jersey. It's just a drive down to Baltimore. But I wasn't ready to be home. So what I did was, I go to Michigan to do a weekend, and I meet a girl. Now I'm looking for a change in my life. I'm looking for a whole new base of comedy. This girl's plan was to pack up. When we left each other on Sunday, her plan was to pack up in a few days, spend a few days with her mother, then show up in Boulder, and she was going to move to Seattle. She was going to come see me before she moved to Seattle. So I liked the girl. Boulder wasn't working. And all of a sudden, I thought about Seattle. I'm like, fuck. That's where Bruce Lee started this whole fucking journey. You know, I had been lost. And when you're lost, I always say, just go home. Go home and you'll find the answer. Go back to your mother's bed. Sleep downstairs in the basement. Go walk to your grammar school. Walk to your park that you play at. It'll all come back to you after a few days. What you were meant to be, who you are, and why you're doing what you're doing. It'll come back to you because when you walk those fucking steps that you did as a kid, it'll all come back to you. I said, you know what? This chick's going to Seattle. I got nothing going on here. There was a comedy newspaper. I went on there and they had all these fucking comedy clubs that were in Seattle at the time. Washington fucking had, you know, all these Volcano Room, fucking the Underground, Giggles, you know. Here I'm working in Denver with two clubs, you know. And I said, you know what? In my heart, I want to go up there to do comedy and to be with this girl. But in my soul, I really want to go up there to walk the streets Bruce Lee did. So from the time I got there, I had a window of when I was going to leave that year. But I think the second day, I went right up to Capitol Hill, wherever it's called. I didn't look it up again. I'm just telling you from memory, just because I wanted to dig deep in this podcast. The second day, I told the girl I was with, I go, we got to do something today. And she's like, I got there on a Friday night. Saturday, we went to the club downtown and went to a show there that night. And then that Sunday, she goes, you know, when you get to a town, you want to go sightseeing. She's like, well, we can go to the fucking farmer's market and all this. I go, listen, let's put a halt to that. I go, let's go see Bruce Lee's grave. And she's like, what are you fucking talking about? I go, I want to go to Bruce Lee's grave. All we got to do is ask people on the street. So I like ask somebody. I said, where do you go to Bruce Lee's grave? And he goes, you got to go up that thing, Capitol Hill. You know, in those days, there was no fucking Bruce Lee's grave. 4.3 miles, make a left. You know, there was none of that shit. So you didn't know, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that. There was probably like a map at that time.
Yeah, like a star map or something.
Like a star map. I don't know, guys. I don't know. So they said it's up in Capitol Hill or something like that, some hill. We drove up there, and I swear to God, we drove onto a garage, a gas station, and I didn't even get out of the car. Before I could say to the guy, where's Bruce Lee's cemetery? He told me. He goes, wow. Oh, before you ask, go up to the corner, make a right, make a left. He goes, don't try to park close to the cemetery. You won't get in. It's you won't get in.
Right.
It's
private.
It's private. So one thing led to another. We parked. We walked like a half a mile. Now, there was a problem, because for people who don't know this, I don't know anybody from the Washington area that listens to the podcast. Please correct me on this. Let me know what the truth is here. I don't know if they buried Jimi Hendrix and Bruce Lee in the same cemetery. There's a story to that, why they couldn't, because then you have Kurt Cobain. So you had to separate them.
Right.
You had to separate. Somebody had broken into Hendrix's grave.
I didn't know that.
And stole his fingers. I don't fucking know. I don't know how real it is. These are just rumors you hear when you're in Seattle.
Right.
So they had to separate them because they got too much attention. Too many people visit, you know, Jimi Hendrix, and too many people visit
Cobain.
Kurt Cobain. But this is before Cobain. Oh. No. Cobain was dead already when I was up there. This is 96. This is 95. So Cobain was already dead. He had just died. He was fresh in the hole. The maggots even haven't gotten on him yet. So I get up there. And guys, I'm not supposed to walk into fucking cemeteries. I avoid cemeteries like the fucking, like, I just avoid them. I avoid cemeteries, period. I don't like them. I feel uncomfortable in them. When I go to my mother's cemetery, I do it just to see her out of respect. I clean up what I got to clean up, and I get the fuck out of there. I've never liked cemeteries, except when I was a fucking piece of shit crazy man. After my mother died, I cut through that cemetery in North Bergen, and I took a couple shits in there. But at that time, I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck about anything. But on a real day, I fucking hate cemeteries, okay? And I hate them more in the daytime than I do at night. It's really? Not a spooky thing. I just don't like fucking cemeteries. And against my own fucking beliefs, I walked into that cemetery. And man, if you've never gone to Bruce Lee's grave, you have to go. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you're going to understand. That was the completion of the circle for me. Of my life. After that, I was rested. Like, you know, I was good after that. Like, I had put that ghost to sleep in my life. I don't know why I went to the cemetery. I was crazy about it. And I walked in there, and as you walk up, you know you're hitting something special. You start seeing flowers on the floor and pieces of paper written in notes. And then you walk up, and it's just a beautiful thing. He was buried there with his son already. Him and Brandon had been buried there. Bruce's picture's on the thing. And for maybe, I don't know, without exaggeration, 10 feet in circumference of the circle of that cemetery, of his plot, is all Bruce Lee related. It's people who come from all over the world and bring notes. And they're opened, so you're supposed to read them.
Wow. It's amazing. How many years has it been? 50 years now? No, 60 years.
He's been dead for 47 years. He died in 73. Those movies came out when I was a child, and they stuck with me so much. And it's like he said, he stuck up for the underdog. I love the underdog. I've been an underdog since day one. How can I not love the underdog? I bet an underdog Saturday night. You know, I love an underdog story. I love somebody who, you know, and I listen, guys, and all that shit was going on. You want me to sit here and tell? I knew that they fucked them out of Kung Fu. I know that I boycotted Kung Fu personally at that time. At the age of fucking 9, I boycotted Kung Fu. Like, I wasn't going to watch this stuff. I heard in rumors that that was Bruce Lee's show. We were all excited about fucking Kung Fu, and they gave it to David Carradine, and people like me got pissed off. We boycotted Kung Fu. Boycott that fucking shit. By that time, I was studying karate, but I would work out in Union City on top of the bottom of the barrel, this place called Fujia Pai Kung Fu. It's still fucking there. And I would go in there. One of my friends that was a landlord in my friend's building studied there. We would all practice together. And I would go to Fujia Pai Kung Fu. It was next door Carvel, so trust me. I didn't go there because I wanted to. I went there because I knew if I flew in the air for an hour, I was having a milkshake downstairs afterwards. You know what I'm saying? I didn't go there because I wanted to. Yeah, at first it was, Bruce Lee in circles and flying through the air. But after that, it was about the chocolate shake afterward. You know what I'm saying? You got to earn your keep, cocksuckers. Even then, I was earning my keep. But it's just so weird how I ended up moving to Seattle. And guys, it didn't stop. Like, after the cemetery, I fucking investigated. I tried to find out where his first school was. So I found that. Somebody told me where it was. So I actually went to where his first school was. I forget what it is today. And I stood in front of it, and I tried to breathe the same air he breathed. I wanted the same life. I didn't know what I was even doing. Now, I was doing this psychologically, but unpsychologically I was doing this. I just wanted to breathe the same air he had breathed. I wanted to walk on the same streets he walked. And I don't even feel that, like, when, you know, yeah, I got a dream of playing fucking that one theater in New York, even though it's no moneymaker, and now it's never going to happen because of Lenny Bruce. You know what I'm saying? I always want
it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
No, now it's never going to happen. It's going to take 2 years. By that time, who wants to see a wrinkled up Joe Diaz? Nobody wants to come see me now. You know what I'm saying? Oh. I'm losing friends by the day now. It's like every time I get a wrinkle, I lose a friend. That's the shape I'm in. Oh. So, you know, I fucking walked. I did everything he could. And guys, it's been 25 years, so I forget what are the goofy shit I did out of respect for Bruce Lee. So now Sunday night came, and like I told you guys Monday, I didn't even have the strength to watch it Sunday night. I watched fucking Steve McQueen in The Getaway. But I got to tell you something. Monday was a fucking boring day. and I went my I went against my own rule, and I fucking watched Be Water. And I watched it, and I don't know if it was because what was going on around me and that. It was like, it didn't tell me what I really wanted to hear. It told me about the shit I already knew, you right. know? I wanted to hear about how his father used to dress him up like a girl when he was a kid because he felt the spirit was looking for him. And if he could confuse the spirit, he could save Bruce Lee. You know, I wanted to hear all about that shit. His dad's little fucking... But they didn't have any of that, but it didn't really matter. Tuesday, Monday night, I think one of the church guys, Matt Holmeyer out of Milwaukee, great guy, he sent me a message and he goes, what did you think of it? And I go, you know, it was okay. But then I did what I go, you know what, before I go spreading what the fuck I think I should, let me fucking watch it again. And last night, I watched it again. And last night at the end, I cried and I understood why I loved him. It was because of the underdog thing. He was a fucking, he was a tiny guy. Listen, if you think I bought into the fight, look, even at the age of, once I seen Juan shoot a fucking guy, once I saw my stepdad shoot a guy in the leg, I figured out that movies were fake. Okay? Did you ever come to a fucking point where you know, like the day, like you just go, I ain't watching wrestling no more? Like, did you ever have that day? That day happens one day when you're 11. You know, as you get old, you know, remember the first time you stopped believing in Santa Claus? You know, it's the same thing. Remember when you found out he wasn't real? It was the same fucking way. You know, I don't, and please don't get me started on the wrestling. I love wrestlers. No disrespect. One day you're just watching it and you're like, this is fake as fuck. I ain't watching this no more. I want to see him get hit with a head, but I want to see his head blow up. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to fucking just see a little blood and the fake shit. And, you know, so that's how your life is. You watch something until you see behind the curtain. Then you move the fuck on. You know what I'm saying? So it's just weird how I watched it again and I caught things I didn't catch the first time. You know, I caught, and I wasn't happy when Bruce Lee died. If you know anything about me, guys, I was a little Bible-beating faggot when Bruce Lee died. So I didn't like the fact that he had been, this is how, guys, this is how much of a prude your Uncle Joey was. I didn't like the fact that they found him at a woman's house that wasn't his wife.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Even in the fucking fifth grade. It always didn't seem right to me. His death never made sense to me. Was the conspiracy, guys? We ain't got enough time. We got real problems to deal with in the world. You know what I'm saying? This baseball coming back. Can a midget suck my dick again in Vegas? You know. You got a lot of other things on your mind.
I like how that's your number two question.
What's that?
The midget one.
Well, because people can't do shit no more because of COVID. Things have changed.
6 foot difference, yeah.
So right. Everybody's felt, yeah, 6 foot difference. How they gotta suck your dick through a wind tunnel. And unless you got a 6 foot dick, you're in no fuck. What are you gonna do? Put a dick extension on? What are you gonna do? They gotta be 6 feet away. So, you know, that's why I don't see how strip clubs operate. But I'm not here to talk about COVID. You guys already took 3 months of COVID. You want to talk about COVID like you want to talk about hemorrhoids. I get it. What I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to tell you is that I watched it again and, you know, it's just one of those things of my childhood that was then. It was when my mother was alive. It was that life. You know, I tried to call my friend Dean LaPrete the other day. I saw his name on Facebook. You know, if he wasn't as a shy little fuck as he was, I'd put him on Zoom, but he's already told me, I'll never do your podcast, so don't ask. I won't call in. You know, he was there at my house before when my mother, I honor his friendship because I knew all those guys BC before Coco's mother died. So Bruce Lee, to me, was something that was a part of my life when my mother was alive and will always be. It's a part of that life. It was the first chapter, you know, like when I'm doing this fucking book right now and I'm trying to figure out how to break it out, you know, because I've had like 6 fucking lives. I had the fucking Catholic boy life where I'm telling you that I was pissed off. I still remember going to see The Godfather and covering my eyes. Well, I covered my eyes with the one eye open when her titties came out during The Godfather, Apollonia. You know, I was that much of a fucking Catholic little nerd. And then there's that fucking evil period. You know, the other day, people are fucking banging out Marky Wahlberg because of hate crimes or whatever the fuck he did in Boston. Well, guess what, guys? You know what, man? When you have hate in your heart, that's the kind of stupid shit you do. You know who else did that? Uncle Joey. I would sit there at night in the fucking Hudson County Park, and these broken men would come, and I'd lie to them and tell them I was going to suck their dick, and then me and three guys would jump them and beat them up. That's not fucking normal, but that was who I was then. If you want to judge me by that now, 30 years later, be my fucking guest, because that's not who I am today. How do I know? Because today I fucking sit there at 4 o'clock, and we got coloring for an hour, me and my daughter, and I got to subtract numbers to figure out the pencil. So number 2 is red, number 3 is pink, number 4 is green, and all through here I got 3 plus 1, 9 plus 8, and I got to figure out all the math. And after I do that for an hour, I got to sit with a kid and read 3 books. She reads them to me, so I know I'm not the same person. So I don't give a fuck about that, you know, that type of shit. And then you have the life, the cocaine life, that fucking cocaine-fueled life that fucking almost killed me. But it turned me into a comedy fucking savage, because even though I had that cocaine in my system, I still had comedy was the light at the end of the tunnel. Comedy was the light at the end of the tunnel for me. I knew once I reached my comedy thing, I would shed that cocaine skin. And thank God, 13 years ago, I fucking did. So there was always something. And now I have from 2007 to 2010, I was a different motherfucker. I don't know who the fuck I was. I was just finding out who the fuck I was. And then from 2010 to now, I met Lee. I had a kid. You know, I moved on to theaters as a comic. I mean, you know.
What fell down?
Your glasses.
I've had so much the fuck go on that I don't even know what the fuck I am anymore. But that's how fast your life. So I've had fucking 5 lives. So if you want to judge me on something. But anyway, going back to Bruce Lee, to me, at the end of it, when I watched that ESPN thing, at the end, it was just who I was at one time. So I cherish that. Did I think he was a tough guy? Could he beat up Muhammad Ali? Guys, it was the fucking movies. But I also remember people's behavior after Bruce Lee came, especially my own. You know, it gave me the will to stand up for myself. You know, his first movie is The Big Boss, released here as Fist of Fury. And if you know anything about that movie, the first hour of that movie is horrible. You know why? Because Bruce Lee don't fight. It was like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Remember Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah.
You had to wait the whole show for Buffy to start throwing fucking sidekicks and you could really see that pussy. Remember that? When she come in with the boots and that tight little ass.
Yeah.
But you had to wait. You had to put up with 22 minutes of bad acting. The fucking twins, the other ugly redhead girl, for me to see Buffy bitch slap somebody. That came from the old school Batman formula where you had to put up with 20 minutes of Batman until Batman gave somebody an ear beat and a bit slapped him and Robin. And that came from the same old school as Green Hornet. You had to fucking wait 20 minutes to watch Green Hornet throw 20 kicks. That's how they would hold you.
Right.
Because you're ready for fucking this Chinese guy to start smacking white people or a black dude, no disrespect, African American. And next thing you know, that you would have to wait 22 minutes. That's the same thing they did to you in The Big Boss, a.k.a. Fist of Fury. But you know why? Because he had made a promise that he wasn't going to fight. He didn't throw a punch, so there was a riot, and somebody ripped his chain and broke the promise.
Wow.
So, you know, that right there was showing you as a young adult what character was. That's the first time I learned about character. That before that scene, he was going to throw a punch, and they held him back, and they reminded him, you made a promise to your mother or your uncle. I don't know. You got to watch the movie. It's been a long time ago. So that was little pieces of character he showed you, you know, in that scene when he faced the boss. What happened when in The Big Boss when they fucking took him out to dinner and they made him the boss, how he treated the employees. And then he realized he had made a mistake, and he became Bruce Lee and what he was, and he went down to the fucking guy's house, fucking killed a bunch of motherfuckers. That's the scene where he's eating the potato chips and he kicks the guys in the balls, two kicks.
Oh, my God.
And they both go down. Then he jumps the fence and he kills the fucking son and the fucking father. But so, yeah, it was about killing or whatever, but it was about a promise. Then fucking he comes back in another movie called Fist of Fury, got released in China, but in the United States, it got released in the Chinese fucking Connection. And he releases the Chinese Connection. In that movie, it's about him coming home and his teacher dying, but his teacher was in great shape. How the fuck can he die? Who would do this? So while everybody else is telling him, everybody was sucking wind like we do today, walking around with your finger up your ass, looking at your fucking iPhone to see what idiot texts you. You're not seeing what's in front of you. He's like, dog, something is not right here. And one night he found two Japanese guys that had plotted to kill the fucking teacher, and he goes off. And then at the end, he has to turn himself in so that the Japanese people don't destroy the school. And as he goes outside, they're about to shoot him. And instead of running in, he runs at them.
Right,
and I remember us leaving there. Everybody in that movie theater was crying. Crying. Dog, when we left, because after it played at the, you know, you had to go see it first with a parent. And after that, you had to go see the movie first. Then you could go talk shit in your neighborhood and tell your friends about how you went to see Bruce Lee and the movie's bad. Go home, ask your father 50 cents, see if we can catch the 4 o'clock matinee over at a small, they're playing on 148th Street. And I remember taking my friends to go see that movie. I saw Chinese Connection in the movie theater. Without exaggeration, I probably paid 25 times to see the Chinese Connection in the movie theater. There was a movie theater that used to let me go there. He used to drink at my mother's bar. It was called Cine Tony on like 14th Street. It was a Cuban movie theater. The owner had a wig.
Tony?
Yeah, Tony had a wig. And he would come into the bar and do a couple bumps. So there was like a rule. Like he could come in and drink, but I could go into his movie theater whenever I wanted.
Nice.
With eight gorillas and just go in the back row and watch movies. I can't tell you how many times I saw that movie there. At night. Like, I would have nothing to do. And I would go, Mom, I'm bored. And she'd go, take the cab. Go down to Cine Tony and watch the 11 o'clock movie. Come back at 2. We'll close at 3.
Damn. Take a cab by yourself.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, Union City was a small town.
Oh, okay. It
was like Studio City. You're not going to get lost. Nobody's going to kidnap you. It wasn't like that then. There was a lot more trust on the streets.
Right. I didn't have the history that you had with Bruce Lee. But I thought it was great last night, like, because it's you're talking about his being a good person and standing up for people, and he had that come through in his movies, but he had it come through at least in the documentary they were talking about. He purposely had that stuff come through in the movies because that's who he was as a person, and like, so the stuff that stood out to me was how many times he like came back. Like I was just relating it to myself. I was like, I don't know if I would keep going after so many people telling you no. Like, that, like,
guys, just
time after time.
This is what life is about. Listen, Clint Eastwood did spaghetti westerns. Bruce Lee came here. You know, one of the things that I liked that they highlighted was the time he had grown up and what he learned from, who he learned from. You know, the stories that they were very mad at him for teaching
non-Chinese
yeah. the art of Kung Fu, and then there's so many different myths and stories and lies, and there's so much great information out there. What were we talking about?
Never giving up.
Never giving up. You know, when you come to this town, look, I know, okay, I'll give you an example. I know a certain Mexican comic who used to always come up to me and go, I will never take a role where they degrade a Mexican. Well, that dude's ready to suck dick today. Okay? He's ready to shoot himself today. He could have, because he had 20 of those roles. He could have had 20 of those roles where whatever. It's up to whatever you want to do. I mean, you never want to portray yourself as a Jewish man in Auschwitz, you know, because of your family and stuff like that. There's certain things you wouldn't want to portray yourself as. But also, at the end of the day, it's just a job.
Right.
To get yourself acquainted with what's going on. What the biggest thing they did to him was steal Kung Fu from him.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was heartbreaking because we all thought as little kids it was his. And every kid I hung out with banked, boycotted it. Like, fuck Kung Fu. Fuck that shit. Like, you weren't allowed in my neighborhood to even talk about fucking Kung Fu.
Who was the guy who played Genghis Khan, the white guy?
Oh, John Wayne.
It was so...
It was horrible.
I'm like, what?
It was horrible. You know, and you talk about all these bad people and shit like this and all these... Like I said in the beginning, listen, there's a lot of fucking fakers out there. People who stand, you know, behind closed doors is what fucking matters. Look what Marlon Brando did in 73 when he sent the fucking Indian woman to receive his Academy Award because they should portray Indians as Indians. This has always been a problem in Hollywood.
Right.
This, you know, this has always been a problem in Hollywood. And you know, yesterday Michael B. Jackson on Monday was talking about, you know, hiring more black people in Hollywood. You know, now they're coming up with that in 18 years of the, not the contender, the chick that needs a boyfriend on ABC, the 18 season, 40 episodes, they only had one black girl.
Oh, The Bachelor.
The Bachelor. You know, we're looking at all these things now. You see these the stuff from the Bruce Lee documentary, you know, about racism in 69 and 68 and 70. And you're looking at the things that are going on with today and you're like, what has changed? What has fucking changed? You know, we're still trying to change people's mind. But, again, until you change your mind behind closed doors and have a pure heart, nothing good's going to happen. When you say it for you, when you look at your fucking friend and go, is he really my friend or is he a token friend? We live in Hollywood, guys, where you have token fucking friends. They're token friends. You know what that means? They contact you when... it's good for them, okay? 10 things could happen. Earthquakes could happen. They don't call you. But one day out of the blue, they were just thinking about you. And you know what? I got you on the phone. I got this project coming up. And you're like, really?
Yeah.
You know, we're all token fucking friends. Guess what? I'm not a token to fucking nobody. You know, when you see two comedians hanging out or whatever, I could tell you 20,000 situations why they're hanging out. It's either they're hanging out because they live and die for each other, or they're hanging out because one wants one from the other one. When you hear me on Rogan, I could be on Rogan every fucking day, guys. I could call Joe right now and go, I want to be on next Monday, and he would say absolutely. I don't do that. I don't abuse our friendship, and I want the show to be very organic. I want me to come on there twice a year, you know, during the holidays and maybe during the 4th of July and go fucking off. I like to do the first guest of the year every year to start the year off on the right foot. But I don't abuse that friendship. I don't want nothing from Joe. I want his friendship. Here in Hollywood, that's not the fucking case.
Right.
So we live in a fucking polluted place. So when Bruce Lee was, he was so hurt. He was probably hurt the way I was after The Longest Yard. You know, while I was shooting The Longest Yard, I'd call anybody on that movie and they'd pick up the phone. The day the fucking movie ended, I went to call the next day about a check or something, and I had to leave messages, and nobody called you back. These are the realities of fucking Hollywood. You know, when you're on a TV show, everybody wants to be your friend. When you got no TV show, you know, these are the realities of Hollywood. Did Bruce Lee really like, you know, Bruce Lee and Steve McQueen were great fucking friends. I've heard 200 stories about them. Were they dear friends? Did they call each other every day? Or were they Hollywood friends? I think, you know, I heard that they both wanted what the other guy had. Steve McQueen didn't want to be a successful Hollywood actor. He wanted just to bitch slap people. And Bruce Lee didn't want to bitch slap people. He wanted to be the world's greatest actor, you know, like very popular. He wanted to bring Chinese culture into the limelight. He wanted to promote all these things. So, you know, in that case, yes.
And obviously, you can't change who someone is, and Bruce was an incredibly hard worker. But the thing that I can't get out of my mind from that documentary was they were talking to his wife, and they were talking about, I think it was right after the Green Hornet, and they were saying how it was tough times, they didn't have a lot of money, but it was probably the happiest time of her life because all the kids were together, Bruce was there, and they had time for each other. And I, like...
What's going on right now?
Exactly. And I'm like, should you not try that? Like, not that you shouldn't try that hard, but should you have different goals?
try that hard for what?
Like, looking back, who knows what killed Bruce, but should Bruce have been like, you know what? I'm going to be the number one stuntman. I'll have some movies, and I'll get to play with my kids at night. Like just rather than focus so intently on being the star. Like, just that line she was talking about was so powerful.
Once he got, you know, once he got that to that point, and that's the truth. Look at us now. Look at what we're learning now. Look at what this fucking coronavirus has taught us. That for some people who are single, it's taught you how to live without nobody coming over. You know, you're by yourself. And I got your guys back. I always call you, Steve, whoever. I contact all you guys. Dean Del Rey. I talked to Theo the other day, you know, because I know what it is. I know how I go crazy at night. You think I like watching TV from fucking 5 to 9 or 10 at night? I've never done that. This is the first time for me for all this shit. I've never fucking done this. So this is very hard for me right now. I just go along with it. At first, I needed the edibles to do it. You know, I went overboard, and now I've accepted my fate. I know exactly what I'm doing, and I know exactly how I want to do it. Once Bruce went to China, and you heard him at the end of the first movie, he didn't know what direction it was going to go.
Right.
And now what happens? So now what else did you learn from at the end of it? At the end of it, you learn about a word called hypocrisy. And I want all young actors and comics, if this is what you're fielding or is anything you do, to learn about what happened at the end. At the end, he had to go somewhere else and make $91 million, $521 million by today's standards. And what happened automatically? America sent Warner Brothers over there with a check to partner up with them. Raymond Chow was unknown to the American fucking public. Raymond Chow cut such a good deal that look who how many movies Raymond Chow went on to produce that were American.
Really? I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah. They gave him everything. They had to give him everything after that. Because he gave up a great, you know, his death at some levels could have been because he switched governments. He wasn't going to make money for some certain Chinese people anymore. I mean, there's a bunch of mysteries surrounding this. In my world right now, 47 years later, it was God. That's it. One day you wake up and you're done. Jim Morrison went. My friend Anthony Balzano went. My friend Darren Rego went. But I'm still here at 57.
But how could... And I don't want to get into a religious argument with you. But can you imagine dying a week before your dream comes true? A week.
Right now I'm scared to death. I think I'm going to die March fucking 1st. Because the Soprano movie comes out March 12th.
Jesus
Christ. So how the fuck do you think I feel? As soon as I saw that, I'm like, I'm going to die March 2nd. You know what I'm saying? Because the Soprano movie's coming out. Not that, you know... Not that I'm Bruce Lee. I'm just saying... You know, it's hard. It's a story about love. It's a story about balls. Listen, my favorite song is Sinatra. He did it his way. When you come out to this California, there's a system, and then it becomes your system. That is your art. That is what you have to offer. Right now, I do an art. You know, people get it wrong. My dear friend Joe Rogan says I'm the funniest guy. Listen, I'm the funniest guy when you open up a window and let me go and attack through it. As far as a stand-up requires certain levels of stand-up. The best stand-up in the game right now is Bill Burr after his last special because of the levels. Till this day, I love the levels. A lot of comics aren't doing that. That's the way I was learned to do comedy, by levels. Bill Hicks worked in levels. Everybody like that worked on levels. Even Pryor, in a way, worked on levels. Not really. Now, Carlin worked on levels. That's a brilliant way of doing comedy. I'm a funny guy when you give me an opening and I can go through that fucking window. I'm a funny guy when you pull it out of me and I can go through that fucking window. I don't even know how we got to this story, but Bruce Lee just taught me that when I got here... Listen, I've never really worried about racism. I don't know why. Like, it's never really affected me. But have I felt it? My wife asked me last night, have I ever felt it? And I got to be honest with you, yes. Yes, I always lie to people and say no. When I first moved to North Bergen, I felt it a little bit. And then throughout the years, it got a lot easier. But at the end, I knew I had to get out of North Bergen. Because no matter what I would be achieve, at the end of the day, I'd always be a speck there. And now that doesn't matter to me. I am a fucking speck. I don't give a fuck what you know what you think of me. I'm Spanish. What do you want me to do? If you're black, if you're African-American, if you're Chinese, whatever, somebody... But, where are we going with this? I don't even
know. I'm not sure. Have you ever experienced racism?
Yeah, have you ever experienced racism? You know, Bruce Lee experienced it. He felt it. He was very hurt by it. He got fucked in the ass. They took a show from him. He went to China. He made his point, and then they had to go get him. And that describes the word hypocrisy. Now, who else did that happen to that you know? Anybody else you know that happened to? You're looking at him. You're listening to him. I was here since 1997, and I've been rocking guys. Guys, I'm looking at you at the eye. I'm looking at the microphone at the eye. I've been killing them since 2004. Seriously, that was 13 years in. Once I started following Mooney and I put the Longest Yard together, I was a 50-50 comic. But when I fucking ripped your fucking heart out, I'd rip your heart out. You've heard the stories about the fucking Comedy Store. Nobody talked to me, guys. I would beg agents. I would drop off packages every day. I would argue with agents. I would make... And I just could not figure it out. I never blamed it on racism. I never blamed it on my felony. I didn't know what to blame it on. I didn't know what to blame it on. And then something happened in 2013... that changed all that. Because it wasn't even about the talent. Guess what happened in 2013 that changed all that?
I don't know.
I sold the ticket.
Wow.
So it didn't matter how funny I was in 2006. Even after The Longest Yard, guys. Even after seeing The Longest Yard. You guys know I'm in that movie. And I'm standing right there with Tracy Morgan and all those motherfuckers. If I'm a good agent, I'm like, I'm going to sign that kid because he ain't shit today. But if I could work with him right or put him on the right path, I could do something with him. Nobody talked to me. They treated me like I had more fucking HIV than before. It was like they shot an extra shot of HIV at me now. Yeah. So nobody wanted to talk to me. It wasn't until 2013 till I sold Sal's. I sold out Sal's, 113 tickets. And then I sold out San Francisco. Oh, I got like 380 on a Thursday night with Felicia. And all of a sudden, guys, you should have seen all the people that said bad things about me over the years, that said I wouldn't amount to nothing, that wouldn't return my calls for years. All of a sudden, that changed. Now, you got two things to do with that. You could either be cocky or you could just write it off to business. I think 20% of it with some people, I was cocky. The other 80, I wrote off the business, and I still do business with those people because it was all a part of business. You have to realize, unless you're fucking, once money, you could be the funniest guy in the world. You could be the best painter in the fucking world. You could draw the best sketches of Lee. You could draw a sketch of the Titanic. But unless you put a value on that and you figure out how to put a value on that, You're done. Nobody decides until you decide. You know what? That flag of the United States of America I drew, I want $10,000 for that. And if you look at somebody's eyes and you explain to them why you want the 10G for that flag and talk to them with the right passion, they're going to buy that fucking flag. Because it's what value you put on yourself at the end of the fucking day. So it was really weird when 2013 came. So nobody talked to me. For years, Rogan's been telling people, club owners been telling, I've been telling people, dog, watch this. Nobody paid attention to me, sending people tapes. You know how much money I spend on sending people tapes? How many tapes I dropped off? You know, and then the agents made fools of me. They would go, well, you have to sell the whole department. How many guys you got? 13. All right, let me go down and sell 13 motherfuckers. So I would drop off 13 tapes while we voted against you. You know how many of those I got, guys? For years, people voted against me. But I sold one ticket. And now everybody's my friend. The phone's ringing. How you doing? So if you learned anything about that Bruce Lee thing, all at the end was, his was a beautiful story. But at the end, they had to go suck his dick and come back and fucking light his cigarettes and tell him how much they love Chinese people and fucking get massages and do kung fu and jump up and down. And that's at the end, he won. He proved his point. He won. You know, I admired so many things about Bruce Lee. If you notice something else about me, I got a white wife. Who else got a white wife? Bruce Lee. You think that was by fucking... I knew I was going with a plain white chick when I got into this game. I didn't want no fucking statuesque, fake-titted woman. I wanted a woman who was going to calm me down. I read a thing about Bruce Lee that Linda could... when he did Enter the Dragon, he was very agitated. And the Stillouette, whatever his name was, the director or the producer, said that Linda could calm him down. My wife is the only person who could talk to me like my wife could talk to me. You know, the other night I was watching an episode of The Sopranos when he's going off in the house and they're having a barbecue. And he finds Janice took the real estate sign off the property and put it in the back. And he comes in and just starts tormenting Carmella. And he starts yelling at Carmella like, God knows she came back for a fucking house and for a $400 car, that fucking bitch. And she's like, look at yourself, Tony. You have to get back to therapy. And he's like, fuck that. I don't even want to fucking talk about that house. And all of a sudden she goes over to the door, opens it up. This is a mob boss who's killed people, who tells people to shut the fuck up. She slams the door and she goes, get out. Go out there and enjoy yourself. Get out there with your friends. And she gets behind him and she pushes him the fuck out and she slams the door and she goes, Jesus fucking Christ. And Tony walks out pissed off and he sees Pussy standing there with a beer and he goes, what the fuck are you laughing about? Then they twist it around. You know how many times my wife twists me around?
I'm guessing at least once a day.
I fucking quit doing blow because I didn't want my wife to find me on the floor. I didn't want that poor soul of a woman to find me on the floor. But isn't it a coincidence? Why do you think I went with a white wife for? Bruce Lee got a white wife. I'm not stupid. He got to those heights because he had a woman who calmed him down. He didn't have a wife that was fucking a piece of, you know, you want to marry her in peace? Go ahead. 10 years from now, she's going to want to fuck her trainer. All right? You want that arm piece? Whatever. I married a woman who suited my fucking needs. Somebody who I felt, you know what, man? My wife doesn't run the house, but she keeps me in check. And that's what Linda did for Bruce. Bruce was a fucking wild man. What did it say? When he had his daughter, she had him wrapped around her finger.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What do you think I'm doing after this afternoon? You think I want to go to the beach and get... I'm 17% of getting bit by a shark. I'm Cuban. 18 if you, you know, fucking talk about the fungi toenail. That attracts sharks like a motherfucker. They love fungi feet.
It's probably shrimp growing.
I'm telling you. I go to the beach, I dream about coming home with one leg. Every time I go to the beach, I'm like, well, I'm coming home with one leg. When I leave the house to go to the beach and I get in the car, I'm like, I'm going to enjoy pushing this brake because I ain't going to be pushing this brake.
Much
longer.
It's going
to
happen now.
Every time I go to the beach, I'm going to come home, they're going to call me Joey One Leg, Joey Stumps, Joey fucking something, you know.
Joey One Leg.
Guys. Thank you very much for listening to our little Bruce Lee thing today. I'm sorry the fucking comedy didn't match up to Mondays, but that's what's great about the church. They're all different. Sometimes we're silly. Sometimes we got serious to talk about. A joke still come out from time to time. And sometimes these podcasts about love. We change every fucking week, okay? So strap a pair on, and that's it, and that's that. It was a beautiful Wednesday. If you haven't watched the documentary yet, I'm fucking sorry. I'm sorry if we just gave you the topical stuff. You could still watch it. Don't hit me up later and say, look at Joey, you fucking spoiler alert. Spoiler alert is when they don't tell you they're coming. You know what I'm saying? That's who a spoiler alert is, when they don't tell you they're coming, when they don't tap you on the shoulder. You know, get ready for that fucking jizz milk I'm going to hit you with. I had the COVID 6 months ago. You know what I'm saying? That's spoiler alert. When you're telling you about some movie, that's fucking nothing, all right? Spoiler alerts, right before you come, your mother knocks on the door. Don't forget you got to go to church. That's spoiler alert right there. You're banging the chick, and all of a sudden your grandmother walks. Don't forget, you gotta go get me pills. And all of a sudden, see what happens to your dick. You're fucking your girlfriend. You look up, and there's a picture of your grandmother or a cross on the wall.
Yes.
How down does your dick get? You see a yarmulke, right? You think about Hitler. You're like, well, how can I fuck somebody? I got Hitler in my heart. These are the breaks. Burn them up, burn them up, burn them up. Break that. All right. That was another fun episode of The Church of What's Happened Now. I'm lucky I have you guys in my heart. You have helped me as much as I have helped you throughout this whole ordeal. I hope I helped some of you motherfuckers. You send me messages. You say I've helped you throughout this, but you guys have helped me more. You got me out of the house, and you taught me a lot of things. You taught me that you're paying attention. Real quick, let's talk about a few things here. Listen, like I told you before, I hate dirty balls. I hate when my ass is dirty. I hate when I scratch my nutsack and I get that little cream. You ever go between your legs? You get that little thick sweat, layer of sweat. There's sweat, then there's like little ball sweat. I hate earwax with all my heart. You understand me? I stick fucking everything in my ear to get every single... And now that I got the hearing aids, I get more earwax than ever. And if there's something I hate more than ever is when you talk to somebody and you can see a piece of hair coming out of their fucking nose. That bothers me. So when I got the fucking email about this, I almost died. That Manscaped had a new product announcement. The scientists over there have released their first nose hair trimmer. It's called, you ready for this one? The Weed Whacker. Now everybody's doing video calls right now, and I gotta tell you, the only thing that camera's picking up here are the spider legs that are sticking out of my fucking nose. But not really, because I cleaned them off with the fucking Weed Whacker before I did the podcast. I wanted to try it out. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Joey fucking Bananas? Whoever the fuck wrote this? You know I'm Tip Top Magoo. I even do my fucking eyebrows. I do everything because I got these spider webs coming out, little fucking antennas. So listen, you know I'm up Manscaped. And I've already told you about how they keep your balls safe when you're trimming your fucking ball sack and your muffler. Now you can get the same job done in your nose. Listen, I took a hair out that usually holds on to a snot up here. I had like a little hair that I got to let it grow from time to time, and the snot juice comes out of there. I fucking put that Weed Whacker in there. I heard that fucking hair died today. He just went, ow! I just fucking shoved it in there. When you weed whack your nose, everything must fucking go. Everything. Everything. I had a little pimple that was bleeding. That motherfucker took it down to the fucking root. And if you got a big fucking nose, the Weed Whacker will work for you too. It's got a contoured design to fit all fucking nose. You ever look at somebody's nose and go, I'll never invite that guy to a Coke party. That fucking, listen, this fucking thing will work for you, the Weed Whacker. You might think, Joey, isn't this an old man's problem? No. How are you going to eat pussy if you can't fucking breathe through your nose? This is everybody's problem. You got to fucking trim your nose hairs. When they come sticking out, it's fucking disgusting. Now get your face looking good as your balls with the Weed Whacker from Manscaped, okay? So now you got the Manscaped 3.0, and you got the fucking Weed Whacker, whatever, the Lawnmower 3.0, I'm sorry, and you got the Weed Whacker, all right? It's one thing you'll put up your nose that's good for you. This is the fucking thing right here. Try the fucking Weed Whacker from fucking Manscaped right now. And if you check my Instagram on Monday, I'll have another video for you up of the fucking Weed Whacker because I love you motherfuckers. But do me a favor right now. Let's get the church family back in tip-top shape, shaving their nutsack and trimming their fucking nose hairs. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you press in the special code. You ready? Write this down. Nosepubes at manscaped.com with a capital N and a capital B. That's nosepubes at manscaped.com. You'll never get a deal like this on nose candy anywhere. I'm giving you 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code NOSEPUBES. Capital N, capital B, as my daughter says, uppercase. I don't know what the fuck that means.
B or P?
P. What B? What? No, it's not boobs, it's pubes.
Okay.
You fuck. Nose pubes. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds right now. Manscaped.com, code NOSEPUBES. Also, I want to thank and encourage you to use the same shit I use to put me back on this fucking planet. And that's Alpha Brain, okay? Right now, Alpha Brain is made by Onnit. Why do I believe in Onnit? Because I've been messing with them for 10 fucking years. That's why. And whenever, and I don't do the Alpha Brain constantly. I do it in 6-week cycles so I can take a breather, go back to it. A couple of weeks ago, I figured it was time for Alpha Brain in a new mood. I went back, and what's the result? It's a new fucking me. So I'm telling you right now, go to Onnit.com. Just go to Onnit.com. Look at the products they have. Read about Onnit. Do some research. They got fucking Alpha Brain now in a powder. It's like a pink lemonade. You put it in a fucking powder. If you don't like capsules, this is quick to go. You can put it in your little fucking water bottle like a fag that you are with your little straw. I'm drinking Alpha Brain. Whatever. Try it. They got that. They got Shroom Tech Sport and Shroom Tech Immune, which I've loved since fucking day one. Okay? You know, you got fucking the new hemp pills. You mix those with your Alpha Brain. And wait, listen, guys, I've been, the first couple weeks of this, I work out according to points on Weight Watchers. And I told Lee the truth. I was doing between 33 and 35, 38 points. And that's if I walked and shit like that. My goal every week is 61. That's the number I got to hit. Guess what? Ever since I've been back on fucking Alpha Brain, I've been breaking that 61, like 65s. No, 75, 78, 74. Why? Because the hemp and the Alpha Brain will enhance your fucking workouts like they've never enhanced the workout before. And I'm like, I'm not Johnny Workout, bro. I'm looking for 30, 40 minutes. I'm fucking 57 years old. I'm looking to get the heart pumping, keep the dick hard, and keep my ankles skinny. That's all I'm looking for. So do me a favor. If you're looking to make your way back right now from this fucking 3-month rest, start off with Alpha Brain right now. Go to Onnit.com. Look at the list of what they have. Look at the different supplements they have. And I'll tell you what, go to Onnit.com right now, take a look, get Alpha Brain. It's 30% money back guarantee, even if you don't like the product, and they don't want it back. When somebody does that, you're sending me a clear message that you believe in your product that much. Right now, go to Onnit, get some Alpha Brain. On the way out, there's a little window, press in code
CHURCH,
C-H-U-R-C-H, and get 10% off your initial order delivered right to your house. That's it. Listen, we're getting a second window here. I want you to fucking be healthy for this second window. I want you to pay attention, but I want you to be sharp. Our heads have been somewhere else for the last couple months. Go to Onnit.com. Get some Alpha Brain. It did them fucking wonders for me. It'll do wonders for you. I was fucking stagnant. I want to thank Manscaped.com/nosepubes, and I want to thank Onnit.com/church. And most importantly, I want to thank you guys for following us and having our backs every fucking week, all right? I love you guys. Listen, January 25th to the 27th at the Brea Improv.
June
25th to the 27th at the Brea Improv. You got to call because sadly, Matt already had a lot of tickets sold, so I think they're only letting 200 people in there. So if you want to move your tickets from Saturday to either Friday or Thursday night, you'll be helping us out. Listen, if you come on Thursday night, it's going to be my first time on stage unless something opens up miraculously before that. Please, if you come on Thursday night to the Improv, that's my first time on stage. I'm just going to go up there and talk some shit and put some shit together. If you want to come, come. If you don't, I fucking get it. I'm doing a residency there starting in July every 2 weeks. So I'll be performing there all the way to December. I'm not traveling, guys. Let's see what goes on with this fucking thing. Let's see if we're going to go to war. Let's see if fucking African-American lives matter. Let's see what's going to happen before I start getting on a plane. And I found out something else. Everything is connecting now. You get on the plane, you're going to have to connect to go. There's few direct fucking flights. So get ready, guys. But anyway, I'll see you in fuck at the Brea Improv June 25th to the 27th. If not, I'm doing a residency there all summer, and I'm giving you $20 tickets. I'm not looking to fucking no. Just $20 entertainment Tuesday night. I'm going to give you a great show. I'm going to work out my new hour, which I don't have, so we're going to work it out together. So it's even a better time, all right? I love you guys. Have a great weekend. I want to thank the Christ Killer. I want to thank you guys, and I want to thank your families, and I want to wish you all a blessing. Have a great fucking weekend. Stay black and do your motherfucking thing. It's a church of what's happening now. Kick this fucking mule, Lee.